Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian. Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, everybody, happy Saturday. Gertrude Bell was born 150 years ago today, so this seemed like a great time to revisit the 2-part episode on her life and work from our podcast archive. These episodes originally came out in November of 2012, featuring past hosts Sarah and Dablina.
Also, if you have not checked out our new daily podcast, This Day in History Class, today's episode of that show is also about Gertrude Bell. You can hear a much quicker look at her life over there as well.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Dablina Chakraborty.
And I'm Sarah Dowdy.
And if you listen to this podcast regularly, you know we've covered our share of explorers and adventure travelers, people like Freya Stark, who traveled into uncharted territory with seemingly little regard for their own safety, and bring back useful info to enlighten those of us who are less ambitious, to say the least.
Yeah, I haven't made any desert treks lately.
You are, in particular, very fond of explorer stories, though.
I do really love explorer stories. And it's interesting sometimes when you do subjects who are kind of in the same vein to see what they have in common with each other. And Freya Stark, you just mentioned her, she actually has a lot in common with the subject of today's podcast, who's Gertrude Bell, especially in terms of where they traveled specifically, which was the Middle East. And you might find a few other little parallels throughout their stories, too.
However, unlike Stark, Bell's involvement in the areas she explored went far beyond documenting them and publishing works about them. Bell also did some archaeological work in there, but was a mountain climber too. But she's best known for a loftier sort of thing. Working with the British government, she got involved in Middle East politics, pitched in on some spy work, and is largely credited with the founding of modern Iraq. And it's said that at one time she was the most powerful woman in the British Empire. So that really piqued our curiosity, and we wanted to find out how did this well-heeled English gal, otherwise expected to become a proper Victorian lady, get to go pretty much where no lady had gone before and have the sort of influence that none other had had. And so that's what we're going to look into a little bit today.
And a lot of the answer seems to lie in how she started out. She was born Gertrude Margaret Lowithan Bell on July 14th, 1868, in a really well-to-do family. According to an article in Smithsonian by Janet Wallach, her family friends included people like Henry James and John Singer Sargent. Her father, who was named Isaac Lothian Bell, was a prominent industrialist, and as such, he had a lot of important connections. And because of those connections, he was able to get Gertrude into Oxford at a time when not very many young women attended.
And she excelled there. And in 1887, she became the first woman to graduate from there with a first in modern history, which was the university's highest honor in modern history. Even at that age, though, she wasn't shy about voicing her opinions. Wallach writes that she shocked professors by challenging their ideas. Maybe because she was so opinionated and outspoken, though, she didn't have a lot of luck in the love department around this time, around the time that she finished school, which made her stand out from other women around her age because most women married around this time. But because of her outspokenness, as we said, because she was sort of snobbish almost about her intelligence, she had a hard time finding suitors. So at age 20, she was sent off to stay with an aunt and uncle in Romania. Her uncle was a British ambassador there, and it was in the hopes that she would find a husband.
I guess the Oxford guys just couldn't handle Gertrude, right? So she didn't find any suitors in her time in Romania, but she did realize that she just loved travel. And so in 1892, she arranged a visit to Tehran in modern day Iran. It was Persia at the time, where her uncle, Frank Lassell, was British minister. And it's there that she got her very first glimpse of the desert. And she just loved what she saw. This reminded me a little bit of Louise Boyd getting her first glimpse of ice. Each explorer has their own passion, right?
Right.
But according to an article by Carrie Ellis in History Today and a piece about Bell in All Things Considered, in her first letter home, she wrote, quote, "Oh, the desert around Tehran, miles and miles of it with nothing growing, ringed in with bleak bare mountains, snow-crowned and furrowed with the deep courses of torrents. I never knew what desert was till I came here. It is a very wonderful thing to see." So, I mean, that speaks clearly how enchanted she was by something so different from what she was used to.
Right. She was smitten with this area of the world. But while she was in Persia, she also became smitten with something else, a guy, a young British diplomat named Henry Cadogan. According to Wallach's article, Bell described him as, quote, "a very thin, agreeable, intelligent, a great tennis player. I like him immensely."
So he apparently liked her, too, and they spent a lot of time together exploring the desert, going on picnics, reading poetry. But there was one problem about their relationship continuing any further, and that was that Henry was very poor. And again, according to Wallach's article, Bell's father refused to let them get married at all. He didn't think that Cadogan earned enough to support his daughter in the manner in which she'd become accustomed to. Plus, Henry had a gambling habit. And so Bell went home to England to try to convince her father in person that this was the guy for her, but she was not successful. And just a few months after she returned home, she got word from Persia that Cadogan had fallen into an icy river while fishing and had died of pneumonia. And she was just completely heartbroken and devastated to hear about this.
So Bell spent the next 10 years or so in England writing, including some writings about her experiences in Persia. And she also traveled around Europe. She traveled to France, Italy, and Germany. And this is also around the time in the late 1890s or so that she started to earn her chops as a climber by climbing unexplored peaks in the Alps. Wallach's article recounts one particularly harrowing experience Bell had in the Alps, in which she and her guides were trapped by an avalanche, a thunderstorm, and blinding snow, any one of which would have been enough to deter me.
I know, that all sounds bad.
They were basically huddled, all roped together in a crack between some rocks on a peak for more than a day. And Bell later said that she thought, quote, "it was on the cards, we should not get down alive." But she kept her cool, and they did make it down.
And that's really something she was known for, too, as a climber. Later, one of her guides said that out of all the amateur climbers that he'd worked with, including males as well as females, no one could rival Bell in terms of, quote, coolness, bravery, and judgment. And, I mean, that seems like something that serves her well later in her career, too, not just on the mountain.
Yeah, and I just love to picture her doing this.
Huddling in between the crack in the rocks, braving out the storm.
Right, and even what, you know, what she might have looked like at the time, because there weren't any dedicated climbing clothes for women at this time, at least when she started out climbing, and Belle was doing her climbing in a skirt. I mean, she wasn't wearing, like, decked out in REI gear or whatever that we would expect today, obviously.
No polar tech, nothing like that. Yeah, a skirt would make things considerably more difficult, it would seem. But it didn't stop her. I mean, none of that really stopped her. And she decided that she wanted to start racking up some climbing accomplishments, too, like some real goals. She wanted to be the first person to climb all the peaks of the Engelhorner range in the Swiss Alps and actually accomplished that goal in 1901.
One of the mountains, Gertrude Spitze, was named after her.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing
right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But even with all the adventures that Europe had to offer, Gertrude still longed for the desert. She was drawn in particular to the mystery of the Arabian desert, and so around the turn of the century, she moved to Jerusalem to study Arabic and to gather as much information as she could about the tribes that were roaming around the desert. With her new know-how, she didn't waste any time in exploring. She rode from Jerusalem to Jericho to Damascus. And according to Ellis's article, one of her most notable early adventures involved dressing like a Bedouin man and riding about 100 miles northeast of Jerusalem in search of the Druze, which was a secretive militant Muslim sect that was at odds with the ruling Ottoman Turks.
And surprisingly, she got along quite well with the Druze when she found them. Ellis writes that the territory the Druze were living in was at the time uncharted by Westerners, but Belle managed to evade the Turkish authorities. This part reminds me of Freya Stark a little bit.
A lot.
And finally get to the Jebel Druze Mountains, where she just charmed the Druze king entirely. They ate together, they talked together, and since Belle had become fluent in Arabic, this was something she could really, really do with ease. They even became friends, and the king apparently asked someone later, referring to her, "Have you seen a queen traveling?" So she made an impression.
Yeah, and it was apparently a good question to ask because Belle did spend the next few years traveling around the Middle East, studying the Roman and Byzantine ruins there, and also studying the Druze and various Bedouin tribes more in depth. She learned a lot about the Arabs and about the Ottoman Empire on her journeys, and she took copious notes while she was doing that. A lot of her observations made it into her 1907 book, The Desert and the Sown. And it also seems that she impressed more than just the Druze king. According to Wallach, the Arabs pronounced Belle, quote, a daughter of the desert, and made her a, quote, honorary man.
But in addition to racking up these great titles and making all these friends, she was really learning her future trade, too. We mentioned her studying the Roman and Byzantine ruins, which is significant because it's during these years that Belle started getting more and more involved in archaeology. She studied under the French archaeologist Solomon Reinach in the early 1900s. And in March of 1907, she went to Turkey to work with William Ramsay on some excavations there. And the work they did actually resulted in a joint publication, a 1909 book called 1001 Churches, which, according to Ellis, really solidified Belle's standing as a, quote, serious archaeologist. So she's not a lady explorer anymore. She's somebody who's out there doing real work with well-respected archaeologists.
And becoming well-respected in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
In January of 1909, Gertrude set out for Mesopotamia, which included what is today Iraq, as well as Syria, Turkey, and Iran. Her goal was to map out uncharted territory. So Wallach outlines a few of the things that Belle took along for the ride, and I just have to mention this
we
in
love
its
the
entirety.
Packing list for explorers.
Yeah.
It says so much about the time.
It really does, and so much about what's important to the person, I think. So we'll just quote this from Wallach's work. She says, her trunks packed with pistols, her saddlebags crammed with books, she was accompanied by an entourage of male servants, baggage animals, horses, and a plethora of equipment, cameras, tents, a folding bed and a canvas bath, mosquito netting, rugs, provisions for a month, quinine, camphor, cigarettes, an entire set of Wedgwood china, crystal and silver for proper dining.
And this reminded me so much of the Champagne Safari. That was before you were a co-host, but
before my time.
It was a similar packing list, bringing things that again, I mean, she may not have had the REI gear for her climbing and special high-tech fabric for desert wear, but she wasn't dining with, like, tin plates either, was she?
No, she wasn't.
So with all of this equipment, with all of these luxuries prepared, she set off on a journey that lasted about 7 months. And the land she traveled across was so brutally dry that her party often had to stop and seek refuge with local tribes. And as their guests, sometimes they would eat things that maybe they weren't expecting to see on their Wedgwood china, really bitter coffee out of the cups, if they had Wedgwood cups with them too, sheep's eyes on their plates, things that were probably welcome if they were looking for refuge in the desert, but also real traveler stuff.
In March, she came across an amazing and as yet undocumented ruin, a 6th century stone and wood castle known to Arabs as Ukadir. I hope I'm saying that correctly. I'm not sure. Belle spent hours and hours painstakingly photographing, measuring, and sketching these ruins. She even got down on the ground in her petticoat to make sure that she was taking very precise measurements. And she was taking this so seriously because since the ruins hadn't been documented before, if she were the one to come out with this discovery and have it so documented and write about it first, it would be this huge big win for her, something that would establish her archaeological reputation beyond a shadow of a doubt.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels has a stay for any traveler you want to be, with 22 brands and over 7,400 locations. Whether you're a business traveler, a family road tripper, someone who wants to seek out history and maybe make your own, or just planning a quick getaway, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Like a Cambria Hotel, where you can be a cocktail connoisseur and sip locally inspired craft beverages at downtown locations in the center of it all. This is a fun way to visit cities with a lot of history and a lot of fun in mind. Or a Radisson Hotel, for all our productivity powerhouses out there. With flexible workspaces and on-site restaurants, you'll get the most out of your work trip. You'll get the coffee, the Wi-Fi, and the work done. And we can't forget about comfort hotels. Imagine you're a family road tripper, waking up in your big spacious room and then heading down to a free hot breakfast for the entire family, including waffles. So you'll be well-fed and ready for the day's adventure, even if that's just relaxing. After that, you're spending all afternoon relaxing by the pool. You deserve it. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you. Book directly at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing right now? Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
She didn't exactly rush off quite yet, though, with her findings. She went on to Babylon and wrote about Babylon, saying it was, quote, the most extraordinary place. I've seldom felt the ancient world come so close. From there, she went on to Baghdad, which was about 500 miles from her starting point, just to give you a sense of how far she roamed on this trip. There she met the Naqib, which was the city's one of the most important Islamic figures in the city, who rarely spoke to women. And again, just sort of like the king of the Druze, she really charmed this guy. He ended up inviting her to meet his family. So from Baghdad, she went on to Constantinople, and that's where she got some really bad news. She found that a French archaeologist had scooped her on the Akadir find, and she was upset about this, but because she had at least spent so much time documenting it in the form of drawings, her name was at least going to be associated with the discovery. The French archaeologist had written about it first, but she had all of this information, all these pictures to really back up the find.
Just 18 months later, she went back to the desert again. She wanted to visit a friend, David Hogarth, who was working on an excavation in the ancient city of Carchemish for the British Museum. When she got there, though, Hogarth had left and his two assistants, two young British archaeologists, were waiting for her instead. They were Campbell Thompson and a 23-year-old graduate student named Thomas Edward Lawrence. And that name may sound kind of familiar to you, and that's because it's the same Lawrence that would later be known as Lawrence of Arabia. And these guys were eager to impress Bell with the work they'd done. It started out rocky for them, though, according to Ellis. Bell took a look at their excavations and immediately called their methods, quote, prehistoric. She then proceeded to tell them how a dig should be done. But they eventually won her over with their conversation, in which they showed off substantial local knowledge, something that always appealed to Bell, and knowledge of architecture, among other things. She ended up calling Lawrence, quote, an interesting boy. He is going to make a traveler.
Very on point, Gertrude. Just an interesting side note, because this group, they sort of seem like an odd couple, don't they, or an odd group of three. But apparently the locals, who didn't know what to think about a woman traveling alone like Gertrude Bell often did, and knowing that Lawrence was a bachelor, originally thought that Bell had arrived to be his bride, even though she was at this point something like twice his age. It just seemed like the most logical solution to explain this party.
Sure, why not? Also interesting to note about this independent lady traveling alone, she'd been active in the anti-suffrage movement back home in the early 1900s. She was actually the honorary secretary of the Women's Anti-Suffrage League, according to Ellis, and apparently she believed that she was the equal of any man, but didn't think the same was true of all women. Anyway, we just thought that was worth a mention for those who look up to her as a feminist role model. It's not totally black and white here.
You can't expect her to be the perfect role model, I guess.
Right, as with any historical figure or figure of any kind. But as we'll learn in the second part of this podcast, there were others who also thought that Bell was a singular kind of lady and allowed her to be part of what was perhaps the ultimate all-boys club, right? The military. At a time when it really mattered, too, because in the next part of this podcast, we're about to go to war, World War I, and talk about Bell's political influence in the Middle East, the stuff that she's probably best known for.
There is a little bit of romance in there, too, though, because we haven't talked about Gertrude's second notable love affair yet. And we'll also talk a bit about how she made a lasting impression on Iraqi culture. So all sorts of things to come in our second part of this Gertrude Bell story.
Thank you so much for joining us for this Saturday classic. Since this is out of the archive, if you heard an email address or a Facebook URL or something similar during the course of the show, that may be obsolete now. So here is our current contact information. We are at historypodcast@howstuffworks.com, and then we're at Missed in History all over social media. That is our name on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Pinterest, and Instagram. Thanks again for listening.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.